There is a God, and He is great. May God be praised as we honor Him together today. He is powerful. And one of my favorite things about being a Christian, one of my favorite things about being a preacher, is just getting to see God's power at work and to hear the stories about the things that He does in people's lives. As a minister, I get a front row seat to a lot of the stories of the things that God does in your lives, because you'll tell me about it every now and then. You'll say, here's what's going on in my life, and God did this for me. And we get to rejoice together and honor Him and just stand in awe of the things that He is doing in our lives. And so I jotted down a bunch of stories to tell to you today. I had probably 15 I wanted to share of people you don't know that I've met over the years, and I've heard their stories, and that was just going to be way too much. So I actually wrote out 7 stories to share with you this morning, and that was going to be way too much, and so I cut it down to only 4 because of time. So I'm sorry, only 4, but let me share these 4 with you, okay? So first one, Derek Allen. I've told you this story before. He's our brother in the church, our sister church in Ellensburg. He's the minister there. And Derek can tell you the story, he loves to tell it, of how he walked into the church building because he had decided he was going to get his life right. And he went in there to steal a Bible so he can read the Bible and find out how to live for God. And so he walked into the church, and there just happened to be a Bible study group there at that time. He walked in, they met him, they welcomed him, he sat down, he stayed there with them. As he was about to leave, they said, hey, would you like to take a Bible with you? Or maybe he asked, can I take a Bible? And they said, yes, take a Bible with you. And so he didn't get to steal a Bible, but he did get to learn about God. And today, he is a Christian, very faithful, married a Christian woman. They're raising 2 children in the Lord, 2 beautiful daughters, and he is powerful in his ministry in our sister church in Ellensburg. There was a woman I met in the church probably 15, 16 years ago who had been a prostitute all her adult life. And when I met her, she was a faithful believer in the Lord. She had been one of those people who probably didn't know how to get out of prostitution because she didn't know if she had any other skills that she could make a living with. And so just to survive, she was in this life. And the church met her somehow. And they began to teach her some skills to get out of that life and into a better life. They began to teach her about God. She was very receptive. She became a Christian. I just met her at church one day. I don't even know her name. But I just met her, and I remember her because of her story of the power of God at work in her life. Our God is amazing. Anthony, if I remember correctly, Anthony grew up in a home that was very prejudiced toward African Americans. Very much so. His dad especially, if I remember right. And yet, when Anthony came to Christ, God began to change his heart toward other people of all types. And Anthony eventually ended up serving as a minister who planted churches in the poorest areas of his city. And he's been doing this now for a few decades. He serves some of the poorest people in his city, and many of them are black people, and he loves them so dearly because they are his brothers and sisters in Christ. But one of my favorite stories is from here in Yakima. Actually, a few of you might know this story, but I won't tell you who it is because I promised to keep it anonymous and was given permission to share it. There's a friend here in Yakima several years ago. She was having trouble with her supervisor at work. It got so hard to go to work that it's just a struggle every day. Some of you may have been there, had a supervisor that you just could hardly deal with. It was just hard for her to go to work every day. Seemed like no matter what she did, they could not find a way to get along. She was always in the wrong with this supervisor. And it was just painful to the point where a friend stepped in and said, you know what, I recommend that every day before you go into work, you pray, God, help me to find favor in the eyes of my supervisor. And so she did. She thought, that's great advice. So she did. Every day she would pull up to work, and before she went in, she would pray, God, help me to find favor in the eyes of my supervisor. And it was about a year before things began to change. But after a year, her supervisor came up to her one day and said, you know, I don't know what it is about you and me, but we just can't ever seem to get along. We need to work on that. And inside, I'm sure she was saying, yes! Because that's exactly what she had been praying for a long time. And as it turned out, they did work on their relationship, and God blessed it. And instead of being a burden or a source of constant irritation, it became a blessing, a powerful blessing. God works powerfully in our lives in very real ways that we see and that we experience and we feel it. I've seen it so many times. I could just sit and tell you stories, and maybe I'll tell you a few over potluck if you want to hear some, but we would definitely be late for the potluck and probably for dinner if I got started. And I know that God is working in many of your lives as well, because I've seen the power of what God has done for some of you. You've told me your stories, or I've watched it play out over the last few years. For some of you, he healed your disease. Praise God. For others of you, he healed your heart and helped you to love more, or to hope in him, depend on him more, even though he didn't take away your disease. Our God is powerful. Some of you were far away from God, but he loved you and he brought you near to him. He just kept reaching out to you again and again, and over time, he finally won your heart and brought you to Jesus, or maybe back to Jesus. Some of you have grown in your self-discipline. Some of you have grown in financial responsibility, which also honors God. Some of you have developed an uncanny ability to forgive people who hurt you deeply, even though as you think back on it, you weren't able to do that however many years ago. And others of you, God has blessed with the ability to trust him in any situation, and it is amazing. God has been at work powerfully in our lives. And so let me ask you, what is one way? In fact, I'm going to ask you to share this with each other just for a minute, okay? Little audience participation, congregation participation. What is one way that you have seen God work in your life, or that you're seeing him work in your life right now, okay? Think about it for just a minute. Good, okay? Now that you're ready, turn to your neighbor. Let's just take a minute and share with your neighbor one way. Well, actually, ask your neighbor, what's one way that God is working in your life? Put the pressure on them, okay? What is one way God is working in your life, or that you've seen him work on your life? Ready, go. Okay, a few more seconds. How has God been working in your life? Or how have you seen him work in your life in the past? A few more seconds. All that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do, for all that you've promised, and all that you are, is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you. Jesus. for the ways that God has been working in our lives and for his divine power at work in our lives all the time. We believe that by his divine power, he is working in our lives all the time. And some of you know exactly what God has done for you, and you just shared that with your neighbor, and praise God for it. It is powerful. And some of you know each other's stories of what God has been doing in their lives, and you praise God for that. And others of you may have just told your neighbor, I have no idea what God is doing in my life right now. Or maybe I just can't see whether God is doing anything in my life, or maybe even ever has. And you know, sometimes it's hard to see. It usually takes me, I figure, about 6 months to figure out what God is doing in my life. It just takes a little while to figure it out. And I've been following Jesus for 28 years. And I think we get better over time at understanding where the power of God is at work in our lives. But sometimes it's hard. Other times, God makes it so obvious that you just can't miss it. It's just right there, and you just praise God for it. But I just want to say, if you can't see where God is at work in your life right now, you're just not sure, don't worry. I'm going to give you from Scripture some things to watch for, some ways that God's power might work in your life, and a prayer to pray to ask God to put his power to work in your life and in the church. So our text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3. It's the end of the chapter, the last 8 verses or so. We'll start in chapter 3, verse 14. And the Apostle Paul prays here that God would bless his church through his awesome power that is at work within us. This is Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When Paul says in verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, the for this reason part, he's thinking back on what he's talked about in chapters 1 to 3 so far, all the great things that God has done for us. So chapter 1, God chose us, he adopted us, he forgave us, he gave us his Holy Spirit to guarantee the redemption that is coming to us. Chapters 1 and 2, God raised Christ from the dead, and now he has also raised us out of our deadness in sin and seated us with Christ where Christ is now, which is at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. Chapter 2, God's salvation isn't only for good, faithful Jews who were born into God's chosen people and grew up close to God, but in Christ, even we Gentiles born far away from God are brought near to God. And he lives in us by his Holy Spirit so that we are like a new kind of temple, filled with God's presence. In chapter 3, as we looked at last week, God has revealed his great mystery, the mystery of his grand eternal purpose to bring all people, Jews and Gentiles, to himself through Jesus. So that now, through the church, God reveals his profound wisdom to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And through Christ, he invites us to come into his divine presence with freedom and confidence. So the first half of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3, are about the great things that God has done for us through Christ. Now thinking on these things, Paul responds by kneeling before the Father and praying. He prays, verse 16, that God would strengthen the church with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that by God's power, verse 17, Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Verse 17, he prays that we will be rooted and established in love. Verse 18, He prays that we'll have power. And the Greek word for power here literally means to be fully able, not just able, but able all the way to grasp the enormity of the love of Christ, how wide and long and high and deep Christ's love is. And verse 19, to so know this love that we are filled up with all the fullness of God. In verses 20 and 21, he prays that our God, who by his power that is at work within us, is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, that he will be glorified in the church and in Christ Jesus forever. Paul prays for God to strengthen the church by his power. He prays for the church to have power, the full ability to be filled and built up with love and to know the overwhelming enormity of the love of Christ. And he prays about God's power that is at work within us to do things we can hardly even imagine. And he prays that that power, by that power, God will bring glory to himself both now and forever. This is what Paul prays for here at the midpoint of his letter to the Ephesians. And I think he prays about God's power so emphatically here because of what's coming next. So chapters 1 through 3 are about all the great things God has done for us. It's all about God. There are almost no commands or instructions for the church in the first half of this letter. Just a couple of little ones, you know, but nothing real big. But chapters 4 through 6, the second half of the letter, are packed with commands and instructions for the church. Because these chapters are about taking the great things that God has done for us and putting them to work in our lives. How do we do that? And so chapter 4, verse 1, first thing Paul writes here in the second half of his letter as he makes this transition is, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And that's what chapters 4 through 6 are about. Here's how you live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And so Paul gives three chapters of teaching on how to live as the body of Christ and the children of God, as children of light. And we'll be looking at these three chapters as we continue our study of Ephesians. And frankly, you read these three chapters, put it all together, and it's pretty overwhelming. There's a lot of stuff in there for Christians to do. And a lot of things that call us to major changes in our lives. So listen to just a few samples. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Chapter 5, verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Wow. Or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, these are just some of Paul's teachings in Ephesians 4 through 6 on how to live a life worthy of the calling we have received from God. And when you read it all together like this, it's pretty overwhelming. You may have heard something in there and you thought to yourself, yeah, I struggle with that one. It's pretty overwhelming. And that's why at the end of chapter 3, Paul prays for God's power to be at work in his church. We need God's divine power just to do what God has called us to do. Just so that we can live into our calling from God and be the people he has called us to be. Because it's hard to do any of this that Paul's written for us, let alone all of it. I mean, just take chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, for example. Those verses say, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Well, let me ask you, how are you supposed to get rid of bitterness and rage that's inside of you when your supervisor at work is someone so impossible to get along with that you wake up every morning hating that you have to go to work there? And you used to love your work. How are you supposed to suddenly stop being bitter toward this person? How are you supposed to never slander them when a coworker asks why they treat you so badly? I mean, are you really by your own power so excellent in your character that you always speak respectfully of this supervisor who treats you so badly, so unjustly? For most of us, that would be hard. Which of us is never going to have a bad day when we do or say something that totally ruins any chance for reconciliation with this person? Which of us is going to be strong enough to always be kind, to always be compassionate, and to forgive over and over again the way God forgives us? Which of us can do that? Now add to that the difficulty of some of the other things that Paul talked about in these chapters. The difficulty of daily speaking only what is true. The difficulty of never using any bad language. Yes, that's in the Bible. We just read it. And of loving and respecting your spouse on those days when your wonderful marriage is actually pretty hard. Which of us, you know, doesn't find it difficult to obey your parents when you'd really rather roll your eyes? Or to train your children in the Lord when you're just frustrated with them that day? Or letting our struggle be against spiritual powers rather than human beings, when it's a lot easier to think of the other person as your enemy. God expects his children to do all these things. This is how he's taught us to live. But these things are hard. And we cannot accomplish all of this on our own. There's just no way. Now, sometimes we might give the impression that we expect people to make changes in their lives without God's help. You know, sometimes people think that they're supposed to be holy before they're baptized. How do you do that? I mean, how do you make those changes without the Spirit of God living in you? The changes that God wants to make in our lives are so profound, and the way he calls us to live is so good and so demanding that we can only do these things by the power of God. We cannot do it on our own. And so we can't expect a person in whom the Holy Spirit does not yet live to be able to make the kinds of changes that they will be able to make by God's power after they're baptized, as the Holy Spirit begins to live in them and work in them. But with the Spirit living in us, wielding God's power in our lives, we can do anything God wants us to do. And we can become the people God calls us to become. Because it won't happen by our power, but it'll happen by his. And our God never calls us to do anything without also giving us the divine power to do it. Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. God's Spirit lives in God's people specifically for the purpose of strengthening us so that by his leading and the transformation he works within us, we can do what God calls us to do and be who God calls us to be. We can forgive that supervisor and pray for a better relationship with her. And God will hear that prayer and help us. We might not be able to do that by our own power, but God will help us. We can work with God to transform our attitude toward other ethnic groups or people from other nations. The power of God can break destructive habits, and he can help us form new habits that grow out of godliness rather than out of sinfulness. We can learn to love and not hate, not on our own power, but by his power. We can learn to speak what is helpful and not what is destructive. Our God is powerful, and by his power at work in us through his Spirit, we can do these things. And as we grow in strength in God through the power he gives us, we become able by his power to love each other and to comprehend the magnificent enormity of the love of Christ. And we become able to show that profound love to others. And as God's power that is at work within us does its work in ways immeasurably beyond all that we can ask or imagine, God is glorified in his church and in Christ Jesus. And we get to be part of the great work of God to bless the world and to reveal his wisdom even in the heavenly realms, as we talked about last week. Now, there are, I think, three barriers to letting God's power work in our lives to do in us all that the Lord wants to accomplish. And we need to just pray, kind of like Paul does here, that God would just overcome these barriers and do his work in us. Barrier number one, I would say, is ignorance. Even Christians sometimes despair because they just don't know about God's power that he makes available to his people. And so we get angry because we can't fix ourselves. Been struggling with this for years and I can't get past it. And we get angry about it. Or we give up because no matter how hard we try, and we've tried for a long time, we are not strong enough. We've proved that over and over again. Or before we come to God, we just don't know to look to God for his power. But once we know, we should pray. Like my friend did about her relationship with her supervisor. We can pray every day that God, by his own power, would work in us to transform us and to help us. Barrier number one, ignorance. Barrier number two, excuses. We might not be like the old comedian Flip Wilson. Anybody remember him? Flip Wilson, who used to say, the devil made me do it, right? We might not be like him and say, the devil made me do it, but sometimes we sin, and then we act like, well, we didn't really have a choice because we weren't strong enough to resist that overwhelming temptation. And it becomes an excuse. Hey, I'm not perfect. So of course I sinned again. I mean, what do you expect? Well, of course we're not strong enough. We know that. Of course we're not perfect. The Lord knows that too. That's why he gives us his Holy Spirit and works in us by his divine power. And by his power, we become strong enough in him to resist the devil in every temptation. That's why in chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Because see, by the power of God, we can stand against the devil and all of his schemes. And we can be transformed from the inside out by God. And we can be made holy. Barrier number two, excuses. But God's power can help us get past those. Barrier number three, apathy. This is a tough one. This is the Christian who has been transformed by God somewhat. God's power has worked in their lives. But right now they're at a spot where they're pretty comfortable. They sort of stopped there. There's still some darkness mixed in with the light. And they're okay with that because, hey, I'm not doing that bad. Okay, we need two things here. First, we need to love God more and have a deeper appreciation for how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Because there is nothing like Christ's love for us and our love for God in response that will motivate us to stop at nothing, to let God finish His work in us all the way. And second, we need to pray. And if apathy is your barrier, then you know, and you're just not feeling motivated to let God's power work in you to accomplish whatever He wants to accomplish in your life and to do whatever great things through you that He wants to do, then I would say pray. And let God know, I'm just feeling pretty apathetic. I'm just not feeling it. And pray. I'd encourage you to take Paul's prayer here in verses 14 to 21 and just make it your own and just literally pray it for yourself and for the church every day for a month. Just do that, because I believe that if you pray for God to strengthen you with power through His Spirit, and you pray for God to help you know the full enormity of the love of Christ and to be glorified as He works in us by His awesome power, God will do that. He is going to answer that prayer. And getting to see God work in your life will put an absolute end to your apathy. So pray this prayer every day for a month. See what God will do with that. I am convinced that God does great things in His church and in our lives individually when we open ourselves to the working of His awesome power. And I pray that He would work powerfully in your lives and in my life and in our life together as a church. And in fact, let's close by praying that right now. Dear Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, we pray that out of Your glorious riches, You would strengthen us with power through Your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power, the full ability, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of our God. And so now to You who are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to Your power that is at work within us, to You be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Lord God, we lift up Paul's prayer to You as our own. Would You hear this prayer? Would You answer it and make Your power very, very obvious in our lives and in Your church? In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. Let's stand. Let's sing together.